براءة من الله ورسوله إلى الذين عاهدتم من المشركين.
This is a declaration of disavowal by Allah and His Messenger to those who associate others with Allah in His divinity and with whom you have made treaties. This is a declaration of disavowal. As we have mentioned before, the first discourse, verses 1 to 37, were revealed in 9 after Hijri, 631 CE, at a time when the Prophet, peace be upon him, had already sent Abu Bakr as leader of the pilgrims to perform Hajj. Since these verses were revealed during Abu Bakr's absence, the companions in Medina asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, to have them conveyed to Abu Bakr with the instruction that they may be recited publicly during the Hajj. The Prophet, peace be upon him, however, decided that the verses should be recited on his behalf by someone from his own family. Accordingly, he entrusted the task to Ali and directed him that not only should he publicly recite the verses concerned, but should also make the following proclamation on that occasion. 1. That no one who refuses to accept Islam would enter paradise. 2. That no polytheist would henceforth be allowed to perform Hajj. 3. That naked circumambulation around the Kaaba, a pre-Islamic Arabian practice, would henceforth be forbidden. 4. That the treaties concluded between the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the unbelievers, which were still in force since the other party had not broken them, would be honored until the expiry of their terms. It's worth noting that the first Hajj of the Islamic era after the conquest of Mecca in 8 after Hijri, 630 CE, was performed largely in accordance with the then prevalent practices. However, in 9 after Hijri, 631 CE, the Muslims performed the second Hajj according to the rules prescribed by Islam, whereas the polytheists performed it according to their own customs. It was in 10 after Hijri, 632 CE, that the third Hajj, more commonly known as the Hajjat al-Wada, the farewell pilgrimage, was performed in a purely Islamic manner. The Prophet, peace be upon him, did not perform the first two pilgrimages. He did, however, lead the third Hajj when polytheism had been fully extirpated.
And with whom you have made treaties.
The Quran had already laid down the rule. If you fear treachery from any group, then publicly throw their covenant at them, for Allah does not love the treacherous. 8:58. Thus, the Muslims were required to publicly terminate their treaties before they engaged in hostilities with groups whom they feared would violate those agreements. To take up arms against a people with whom one is bound by a treaty without its annulment is tantamount to treachery and as such does not become the Muslims. This Quranic principle also applied to those tribes that, despite their treaties, had constantly conspired against and were openly hostile to Islam whenever the opportunity presented itself. This was very much the attitude of all the polytheistic tribes, with the notable exception of Banu Kinana and the Banu Damra, and perhaps of a couple of other lesser-known tribes. This public disassociation with polytheism and its adherence by the Quran amounted to the outlawing of polytheism and polytheists in Arabia. The polytheists thereafter had no shelter in the land since the greater part of Arabia had come under Islam's sway. The polytheists looked ever for an opportunity, such as the threat of the invasion of the Islamic State by the Byzantines or the Sassanids, or of the possible death of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to violate their treaties and to fling the Islamic realm into civil war and anarchy. However, God and His Messenger had turned the tables on them before they had the chance. The public annulment of the treaties presented the polytheists with three alternatives. They could either come out into the open and engage in conflict with the Islamic State, which would have led to their total extinction. They could flee from Arabia, or they could embrace Islam and submit themselves and the lands which they controlled to the Islamic State. The wisdom of this action can be better appreciated if one considers the level of denunciation which broke out in different parts of Arabia in less than 2 years after the Prophet's death, and which jolted the very foundation of the newly established Islamic order.
Had this declaration of 9 after Hijri, 631 CE, not struck a death blow to the forces of polytheism, and had the Islamic order not been firmly entrenched, the movement of apostasy which arose in the early days of Abu Bakr's caliphate would have surfaced earlier and been more forceful. It might also have led to a much fiercer civil war and rebellion, and the course of Islamic history might well have been different altogether.
فَسِيحُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْزِي الْكَافِرِينَ
You may go about freely in the land for 4 months, but know well that you will not be able to frustrate Allah, and that Allah will bring disgrace upon those who deny the truth. You may go about freely in the land for 4 months.
This proclamation was made on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, 9 after Hijri, 631 CE. The polytheists were granted a respite of 4 months, concluding on the 10th Rabi'ul Awwal, 10 after Hijri, 631 CE. They were thus offered the opportunity to take stock of their situation. If they decided that they should fight it out, they could do so. Similarly, they could choose either to leave the land or, after careful consideration, embrace Islam.
وَأَذَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَرَسُولُهُ فَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ
This is a public proclamation by Allah and His Messenger to all people on the day of the Great Pilgrimage. Allah is free from all obligation to those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, and so is His Messenger. If you repent, it shall be for your own good. But if you turn away, then know well that you will not be able to frustrate Allah. So give glad tidings of a painful chastisement to those who disbelieve, to all people on the day of the Great Pilgrimage.
The 10th of Dhul-Hijjah is known as Yawm al-Nahr, the Day of Sacrifice. According to authentic traditions, the Prophet, peace be upon him, asked the audience on the occasion of Hajjat al-Wada, the farewell pilgrimage, which day is it? They replied, it is Yawm al-Nahr, the Day of Sacrifice. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, This is Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, the day of greater pilgrimage. It is in contrast to al-Hajj al-Asghar, that is Umrah or minor pilgrimage, that the pilgrimage performed on the appointed dates in the month of Zulhijjah is called the greater pilgrimage.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَنْقُصُوكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَمْ يُظَاهِرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَحَدًا فَأَتِمُّوا إِلَيْهِمْ عَهْدَهُمْ إِلَى مُدَّتِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ
In exception to those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, are those with whom you have made treaties and who have not violated their treaties, nor have backed up anyone against you. Fulfill your treaties with them till the end of their term. Surely, Allah loves the pious. Fulfill your treaties with them till the end of their term. Surely, Allah loves the pious.
The Muslims were directed to maintain agreements with those who had not been guilty of violating agreements with them. Any act which contravened this idea would not be God-fearing, and Muslims should abstain from it, since God loves those who fear Him.
فَإِذَا انْسَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ وَاحْصُرُوهُمْ وَاقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
But when the sacred months expire, slay those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, wherever you find them, seize them and besiege them and lie in wait for them. But if they repent and establish the prayer and pay zakah, leave them alone. Surely Allah is all forgiving, ever merciful. But when the sacred months expire,
the expression sacred months in the above verse means something rather different from its usual understanding, whereby fighting during those 4 months was prohibited. Here the expression refers merely to the 4 months of respite granted to the polytheists. Since it was not lawful for Muslims to attack the polytheists during those months, they were characterized as hudum, sacred, prohibited.
But if they repent and establish the prayer and pay zakah, leave them alone.
Apart from a disavowal of unbelief in polytheism, the Muslims are required to establish prayers and pay zakah. Without these, their claim that they had abandoned unbelief and embraced Islam would have no credence. Abu Bakr referred to this verse as the basis of his action in response to the movement of apostasy during his reign. A group of those who had launched a rebellious movement against Islam after the death of the Prophet, peace be upon him, contended that they had not renounced Islam and were even prepared to observe the prayers. They were not prepared, however, to pay zakah. Many of the companions were puzzled as to how the sword could be unleashed against a people who claimed to profess Islam and observe prayers. Abu Bakr referred to the above verse, which enjoins Muslims to allow such polytheists to have their way provided they give up polytheism, establish prayers, and pay zakah. However, the injunction would not apply if they failed to fulfill any of these three conditions.
وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَهُ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
And if any of those who associate others with Allah in His divinity seeks asylum, grant him asylum, that he may hear the word of Allah, and then escort him to safety.
For they are a people bereft of all understanding. For they are a people bereft of all understanding. If during the war any enemy expresses the desire to learn about Islam, the Muslims should provide him asylum, allow him to come to their land, and help him understand their religion. Thereafter, if he decides not to accept Islam, they should escort him to wherever he wishes to go. In Islamic legal terminology, the person who enters Dar al-Islam under its protection is called musta'min,